Cliff Schechter is the founder and president of the PR firm Libertas LLC. He's advised campaigns, political organizations run by former President Bill Clinton, Vice President Al Gore, author of the 2008 bestseller, The Real McCain, columnist for the Daily Beast, and the unbelievably good podcast, Unprecedented, with him, is available on Patreon. Go subscribe today. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us. Hi, Cliff.
Hey, man. How are you? Too kind is how you are.
What's that?
You're too kind is how you are.
Oh, okay. I just forgive the setup there. Tim Pawlenty's thinking about rerunning for governor here in the state of Minnesota.
I saw that. I guess a little bit around the bend. He failed at being right wing and crazy enough, which again is a high bar in the Republican Party to get the nomination for president. So then he went. What he's been lobbying? Did a lot of good quality corporate lobbying. He's pocketed his money and now. He's going to come save the people of Minnesota.
Well, save us from, actually balanced budgets. You know, the last time he was in charge, remember that knucklehead, what he did? He basically took the entire education budget for the state because he didn't have the money to pay for it and he refused to raise taxes. He basically just threw the education budget into a future fiscal cycle and wiped his hands of it and said, see, we balanced the budget. He made such a mess. Thank God Mark Dayton got in there to fix the damn thing.
Well, that's the thing, and the problem is that people forget this stuff, and the media, has to do their both sides are bad thing because they don't want to look partisan. God help us, and so they don't tell the truth. You know, there was a great piece. I know we've got stuff to talk about, but related to what you're talking about, what Pawlenty did in Oklahoma, which has been copying the Kansas model, and Paul Waldman wrote a great piece for the Washington Post that I just read, which is so spot on. I mean. Similar type stuff. Let's just keep cutting taxes. Voodoo economics will magically, with its voodoo, create all this revenue will just come pouring in way beyond, what we lose in revenue from the tax cuts, which never happens. Didn't happen in Kansas. And Oklahoma now, I think it's something like a quarter of their school districts are only able to have school 4 days a week because they can't afford to keep the schools open.
Wow.
If you wanted to find something even more absurd than that, because I thought that was about as absurd as it could get, the police officers have a limited amount of gasoline they're allowed to use because they can't afford. So I wonder, you're chasing a bank robber. Do you just stop and be like, well, we've gone our 10 miles.
Got to go get another gallon.
Right. I mean, that's Republican government. So all of you listening to Matt's fantastic show, if you're thinking about voting for Tim Pawlenty, which I assume if you listen to this show, you're smart enough to never consider.
Yeah.
But if you are. That could be your future. If you want to bring him back in, see if you can go. If you have an extra day to hang with your kids because you only want to send them to school 4 days a week, you go right ahead and or you can have me sit here and warn you about full Republican government with what's going on here with John Kasich and that crowd and the 18 different restrictions on women's rights they've passed and. Putting guns in bars and every other idiotic thing they've done.
Well, let's talk about women's rights. How about the women's right not to get the living daylights beaten out of them by their husband? I mean, I think it should be a base right. Rob Porter, the White House staff secretary, we now find out assaulted two of his ex-wives.
I think a girlfriend too.
I think you and I can step away from politics for a second. If W. Bush. Or H.W. Bush would have had someone that they had discovered was beating on their wives, and there was photos and pretty good dramatic evidence that this indeed was going on, I'm sure they wouldn't be talking about what a good guy he was. They would be saying, get out now. I think this is...
you have to take it beyond politics. George H.W. Bush almost seems moderate these days.
Yeah, he does.
I agreed with some things, but remember a Republican who was willing to sign a bill that raised taxes to help with a budget crunch instead of causing $1.5 trillion more in deficits, and a guy that actually looked for coalition partners before we went to war. Not to say that was a smart war. In any case, he was paying attention to what was going on. George W. Bush, and he was a terrible president. In every single way I can imagine.
Yes.
But really, really did actually often, not always, but often surround himself with people like Colin Powell, who were people that minded the store. And then there's Donald Trump, who's a complete moron, but at the same time wants to surround himself with people exactly like himself. I mean, again, he's a man who bragged on video that we all got to watch about grabbing women in certain parts of their body and kissing them when they weren't ready for it. And too bad he's a star. He can get away with it. He's the guy that hired Corey Lewandowski as a campaign manager, who assaulted a Breitbart reporter, a woman, Michelle Fields, and caused bruises on her arm by grabbing her. He's a guy that then hired Steve Bannon to run his campaign, a guy who in divorce proceedings, came out that he'd abused his wife. I mean, you know, how many more people does it have to be? They supported a Senate candidate in Alabama who abused young girls. I mean, you can sort of go on and on with this. They've kind of proven where they come down on these issues. Women don't have any rights. The man is always right. Women are sort of the chattel that are there. And, you know, oh, by the way, you hit somebody. That's okay. You'll do a good job in our administration. So, no, you can't compare this guy to past Republicans. This would be such an enormous scandal in any other administration. I mean, when you factor in that McGahn knew about it ahead of time, that Kelly, you know, they just get off their butts off the couches. He apparently couldn't get off his ass. Hope I can say that.
Sorry, it's all right. It's all right. It's okay.
Off of his couch. He can't do that, apparently, when it comes to going and taking security clearance away from people who beat their wives and have security clearance. He was too busy, as he said. You know, that fell to the back of the priority list. I mean, Kelly should be gone immediately. McGahn should be gone immediately. Obviously, the bigger problem is Trump shouldn't even be there. But when people like himself, as I said.
When you have a tagline of every news story you see nowadays about the White House includes something to the effect of, in the U.S., you can call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. And the fact that we have to include these in anytime we talk about the White House tells you how bad things are running. Have they narrowed down do we have a date when exactly the White House was aware of Porter and these accusations against him?
I was reading something this morning before the podcast. I'm pretty sure like McGahn has known about this at least 9 months to a year.
Wow.
I mean, they knew for a while.
Wow.
So they knew back then. And what McGahn claimed he did was he said he called, the other various people in the White House to alert them to this. And they're like, well, did you follow up on it? No, that was enough. I mean, he didn't, you know, because I don't know if that's being evil or just being incompetent, but apparently you don't need to follow up on stuff. As well, you just call once and assume it'll happen.
Or he's falling on a sword. He's falling on a sword. He did warn them, and they didn't do anything about it, and so he's basically trying to fall on the sword for the rest of the White House.
Yeah, well, I mean, but then you know, Kelly, I mean, this guy that you know attacked an African American Democratic congresswoman personally, and he was wrong and lied from the podium a couple months ago. A guy who has made despicable remarks about Dreamers. I mean, I remember Lawrence O'Donnell, because he was from a similar part of Boston, did a thing on it and saying, you know, people don't always remember who are younger, the history of the city of Boston when there were wars over busing and these kinds of things and a lot of the racism. And this seemed to be the part of Boston Kelly comes from, good old Southie, you know, that mentality more than just that area, because they're good people from that area as there are from any area. But, you know, this racist sort of, you know, in other words, the type of person that Trump appeal to in the Northeast and the Midwest in these elections. Racist, white, working class men. Kelly comes from that background. He basically is just a Trumpist who happens to have a rank in the military. He's no better. And, you know, remember, he's supposed to be the adult in the room and all this stuff. He clearly is a despicable racist in addition to being incompetent. And, you know, again, par for the course with these guys. But that guy should be out. And it wouldn't be a question in any other administration that he would be.
Well, and let's talk about Kelly here. I don't care rat's caboose where he's from. He's military. That should have been, you know, rinsed out of him back when he was a butter bar second lieutenant. And so the fact this is coming out, I don't quite understand Kelly, because part of me feels as if he took the job of chief of staff to try to keep this White House from launching attacks and doing things. But you're right. And reminder, he attacked that African-American congresswoman as she was defending a war widow who herself was attacked by Trump, a military widow. So the fact that he went out there and attacked her on that level is unforgivable for military people like myself. And I think that, so when he
tried to put the Muslim ban into effect when he was at DHS. I mean, he actually, unlike some of the other people who refused, he tried to work with it. He's despicable is what he is.
Well, you do hear these reports, though, that he and Trump hate each other. I mean, Trump really does not like him as his chief of staff. I mean, how is that whole thing? Do you have any theories on this?
Well, I mean, let's remember, you know, it's like when I talk to my kids and I try to explain to them, I'm like, you know, they'll be like, well, why did Palpatine kill Count Dooku? I'm like, because Siths, when they're evil, don't just hate everybody else, they hate each other too. So
are we going down a Sith Lord?
That was the one that came to mind.
Palpatine is running in Oklahoma, by the way. Just FYI, I think he's.
Listen, that could happen. All right, don't be surprised if that happens. Just because they're terrible to all of us doesn't mean it's like when Jeff Sessions and fighting with Trump, you're sitting there and it's kind of like, I'll give you another metaphor. It's like in the movie where King Kong fights with Godzilla. Who do you root for in that? Maybe you hope they both wipe each other out. In a way, the fact that Trump can't get along with anybody, even people as despicable and evil as him, is good because it's almost like a natural sort of balance of power, if you will, because he can't seem to work with people. So I don't know what's going on there with Kelly. My guess is it's just what it is always with Trump, because anybody long term he has trouble getting along with who doesn't just sort of kowtow to him, or even in his sort of way he sees it, messes up a few times when they're supposed to be doing exactly what he wants to do to have them defend his fragile little ego and the rest. So I'm sure it's not for the right reasons. It's for the wrong reasons, I'm sure, that he doesn't like Kelly.
We'll take a break here. I do want to mention John in Minneapolis has a theory that Trump surrounds himself with idiots, so he's the smartest guy in the room. I got news for you. Even with those group of idiots around him, he still looks like a dimbo.
It's impossible.
Yeah, exactly.
you can't find those people.
Unless you get a bunch of Great Danes in the room, and I'd still put money on the Great Danes at that point.
I would, too.
All right. Cliff Schechter joining us. We'll take a break here. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950.
Seward Co-op, serving the community for nearly 45 years, invites you to shop their two convenient locations, both offering the strong commitment to local producers and healthy foods you've come to expect. Seward focuses on locally grown and raised products, fair trade, and environmental sustainability. Shop their selection of meats, artisan cheeses, and house-made baked goods. Find Seward at 2823 East Franklin Avenue or the Friendship Store on 38th Street and 3rd Avenue in Minneapolis. More at seward.coop.
Tom Hartman here, letting you know that Better Energy is finally affordable. With All Energy Solar, Minnesota's number one local home solar provider, you can go solar with little or no money down. Qualified property owners could even see a return on investment in less than 1 year. Xcel Energy's Solar Rewards Incentive Program is available first come, first serve, and federal tax credits are available for a very limited time. Schedule your free solar assessment today. Visit allenergysolar.com. That's allenergysolar.com.
I first fell in love with Toyotas when I got my RAV4. It was perfect. And now that it's SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, you can fall in love yourself. Right now, Rudy Luther Toyota has 290 RAV4s in stock with 0% financing for 60 months or 0.9% financing for 72. The RAV4 is sharp with the safety features you need. It's perfect size for getting around town, and hands down, it's the best off-road vehicle I've ever driven. See for yourself during SUV month at Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of downtown Minneapolis on 394.
What kind of a jackass would let an animal pick their insurance? Did you really think a lizard could save you money on car insurance? Would you let a duck pick your health policy? Insurance can be a zoo, but this is ridiculous. What you really need is an insurance agent that isn't looking out for the insurance companies. You need Cheryl at Array, an independent agent with 30 years experience looking for the best rate possible. Quit monkeying around and call 763-504-3067. That's 763-504-3067 for Cheryl at Array, representing you, not the insurance companies.
This is Pat with PJW Automotive. AM 950 listeners know I've been a big supporter of the station. I'm also a job creator. I've assembled a team of the highest quality technicians to ensure our reputation continues to grow. After all, a job creator is simply someone who responds to customer demand. That demand has remained strong at PJW because we deliver quality the first time around. See why it's worth the drive to PJW Automotive. One exit north of 694 on 35W and online at pjwauto.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for sunny skies today with a high near 10. Tonight cloudy with a low of 4 below. Saturday sunny with a high near 14. And Sunday sunny with a high near 20. The Downtowner Woodfire Grill is the Eat Local Minnesota restaurant of the week with a delicious American bistro style menu. Once you experience their cozy fireside dining, delicious food, and extensive wine list and bar, you'll sure to be back for more. Located at 253 West 7th Street in downtown St. Paul with plenty of free parking, or at downtownerwoodfire.com.
Downtowner Woodfire Grill is fantastic. And once again, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Great breakfast spot this weekend. Try them out. 253 West 7th Street in St. Paul. Plenty of free parking. And of course, their lunches too, that wood-fired pizza, delicious. Downtowner, Woodfire Grill, the eatlocalminnesota.com restaurant of the week. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us once again. Unprecedented is the podcast. We'll link to that a little bit later on. We're now upset Great Dane owners, by the way, Cliff, FYI.
There's always somebody.
Yes.
You're going to get offended. If I just say, like, there's a collection of rocks or stones sitting in a lake somewhere mm-hmm. that probably couldn't combined have a lower IQ than Donald Trump. Would that be okay? Or no?
Well, I mean,
the lake would get pissed at us.
The water, yeah. You know, Mother Nature's on line three. Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, I want to point out something here, and we can actually take this on a larger scale, but also focus back on Trump. The Republicans clearly can't get anything done because they're designed to campaign. They're not designed to lead. They can't even get budgets passed. It's one of the reasons why our economy right now is starting to go onto a roller coaster ride. You have Trump. I like what Colbert said earlier this week, where he said this was a guy who thought the presidency was red ribbons and big scissors, like you're a mall and you're opening up, and just all he had to do was ceremonial stuff. He has no intention. Yep. But when you get back to this Rob Porter thing, one of the things it does point to is something we have seen in business over and over again, is that once you enter into that upper echelon of senior executives, you're secured, you're preserved, they look out for you, they always have your back, even when you do things that are unforgivable. We're starting to change that culture in America, but isn't that exactly what Rob Porter is just a senior executive within Trump's corporation business, which is the White House, and basically they're treating him, they're surrounding the wagons because, you know, you don't throw your loyal chief executives under the bus.
That's exactly right. And that's exactly what they do. They protect their own. They always have. And look, I mean, Trump benefited from that system. I mean, he was given sort of lineage status to get into the upper echelons. I mean, if anyone could screw up being in that upper echelon, it was him. I mean, the multiple bankruptcies, the idiotic business decisions. I mean, again, casinos are places, quite honestly, where people walk in and they hand over their money to you. And he couldn't make that work. I mean, they sit down and they hand their money to you. And he found a way to bankrupt these places. He's a moron. I mean, a first class moron. So, I mean, but still, you know, he was kept in, you know, he could, because frankly, the reason he thought that the presidency would be this is because that's what his business has been. He's always claimed that he's such a great businessman and he does it. You know, obviously, you know, he can't read a 10-minute memo. Like, he doesn't look, he never was sitting there looking at you know, capital that need to be infused into projects and what debt they were taking on and all these kinds of things. He didn't know any of their numbers. He was the guy that showed up to cut the ribbon and throw his name in gaudy, ugly writing on the damn building. You know what I mean? So I mean, why would this be any different? I mean, it's funny you bring this up, because I was having lunch with a good friend of mine today. It was an energy company here in Cincinnati, and, you know, progressive as we are. And we're talking about that because we both in our own lives, he has his business, I've got mine. You know, I've got somebody that is almost like a minor Trump type clone who's just ripped me off money that I have to sue. He had somebody who's trying to steal money from him. And these guys, they exist in business and they make it because our laws are set up, you know, kind of like our politics, sadly, which is because if you're shameless and sociopathic enough, it's very tough to stop you. Most of us don't behave a certain way because the you know, cultural strictures tell us that we shouldn't. We wouldn't behave that way publicly. We wouldn't act that way. We have some sort of empathy and understanding of other people that we wouldn't say, I know I just paid you to do that job, but instead I'm going to give you 50%. And if you try to come after me, I'm going to tie you up in court. You're going to waste your money on legal fees. We would never make a business model of that because we'd be ashamed of ourselves. Mm-hmm. And we'd feel guilty doing it. But the types of people like we're talking about here, like the two people that I and my friend had to deal with, like Donald Trump on a larger level, they exist. And sadly, they do too well, because these are all executives that are multimillionaires we're talking about. And they should all be in prison, frankly. And I hope American business culture is changing. I hope the Me Too movement is part of that. I hope bringing more, you know, people from various backgrounds into it. I think, you know, not sort of idolizing these sort of this ridiculous 1950s, if not 1850s notion of what strength is and what leadership is, and which really is more just bullying and pushing people around and stealing from people and whatever. And we get to a culture of actually sort of more based on mutual respect, respecting people for the value they bring. I mean, these are things that actually are proven again. You pay your workers better. They feel like they're respected more. They perform better in every test that we end up looking at. It's better for business anyhow, but it's better for all of us. And then the Donald Trumps don't keep rising to the top, which, you know, the vulture capitalists, as they are. So my opinion.
Well, and an outstanding opinion, if I can be honest with you. That was brilliant. Well done. We'll turn away from the personal disgusting nature of Trump and just turn into the professional incompetence of Trump.
You mean like when you say personal nature, you mean like when the two hair flaps flew aside and there's like a what kind of cat did I tweet out? A Sphinx cat's belly, like, you know, those hairless cats.
Hey kids, how about Jiffy Pop tonight? No,
that was a scary. I mean, I've already done my one Star Wars metaphor. I don't know if I could do another one, but that was like Darth Vader without the mask.
Oh, that was a topographical map of a Uranus moon. I'm just going to go with it there.
Okay, I'll let you go now.
All right. Let's go. Let's turn to military parades. Here's my favorite thing today. Pence is over. If he can figure out which country he's in, he thought he was in Korea when he was in Japan. But then he slams on North Korea for having a military parade until someone goes, wait a minute here. This is bizarre. I mean, there are this defense that the Republicans are trying to put out that Trump wants a military parade. Oh, well, it's good to salute the troops. We do. Veterans Day, Memorial Day, 4th of July, we do those generally every year. The parades like this, we don't do, and we specifically should not be doing, especially if it's just to appease our leader. I can't imagine the military in any capacity is okay with this. I mean, this takes away people from training, from missions, from you know, having to do the day-to-day rigors of running the military so you can just march a bunch of people past this guy. This is really getting into the evil despot kind of level of bizarre at this point.
It is, especially because it's antithetical to the entire culture of this country. I mean, what we are, you know, and I feel like I need to say this every time, we are founded on certain principles. Now, right away, the founders didn't come close to living up to those principles with respect to women, African Americans, you know, Native Americans. So don't think I'm saying things were perfect. But some of the things they did get right, and they did certainly understand, you know, was that when a country was run by a military, it became a military dictatorship. It was inevitable that if you didn't have civilians, a civilian commander in chief and civilians running a country, this is, you know, that displays of military were by militarized nations. And, you know, there are other countries that are strong democracies that have somewhat different traditions. I think when Trump fell in love with this idea, he was in France, and they obviously have some military displays there, Bastille Day and others. But that doesn't mean that that's our culture and our history. And I'm not criticizing France. They have a very, in many ways, a much stronger democracy than we do, quite frankly. But based on the sort of founding culture of this country, having military displays like overt ones, I've always been just so against, you know, the ingrained culture of the United States. And that this guy wants to go and do this. And that's why so many military leaders have spoken out. Others, you know, have spoken out and said, this is ridiculous. This is not what you do here. It's just, again, this guy, there's nothing that this guy can make this guy have any shame. There's no cultural norms he can't destroy. You know, and it wouldn't be about the troops. It'd be bad enough. Even if it was about the troops, it would be wrong for this country. But it isn't. It's about everybody bowing before dear leader, the moron prince, you know, and that's what he needs. It's either retweets or it's military parades or it's people mentioning him on TV, you know, any press is good press.
Well, and when you find out that he's trying to push, you know, Mattis to start sinking Iranian boats, which I guess he doesn't quite understand. That's not a strong arm technique. That's a declaration of war. And Mattis, to his credit, is like, no, we're not going to do that. I guess in the long run, sure, throwing a military parade versus starting a war with a country we don't really want to start a war with, is maybe a compromise. But it's just it's. You know, I'll also go back to that same Stephen Colbert, you know, interview. I'll go back to the same thing that Stephen Colbert had, because he had John Oliver at the time, and John Oliver said he's an emotional void. He is now trying to fill that emotional void. This time, he's trying a military parade. And the really That's scary right. thing is, when that doesn't work, because it won't, because he just it's an emotional void, he can't fix it, what does he try next to try to fill that? And that's the scary part, is us appeasing him is leading the door down further and further down this path.
No, I mean, he is. He's an emotional black hole who has, I mean, it's quite the self-loathing has always been obvious. You can try to trace it back, you know, as I've said before, I think here and other places, you know, the Fred Jr. was the apple of daddy's eye. Donnie was just spare parts in case they needed him for his older brother. And it seems he's never gotten over that. And it, so it doesn't matter. I mean, any attention that as long as anybody's saying, hey, look at him, didn't matter if it's because the guy was cheating on his wife quite publicly or even if he's bankrupt, if he's being talked about, it makes him feel special. And it is. It's, I mean, and I was so right of John Oliver to say he can, this is a guy who he can never fill that hole. And that's why he lashes out at people the way he does. And that's why he behaves the way he does. And he just is a deeply damaged human being. Always has been, and is exactly the kind of guy that people like Alexander Hamilton warned us about ever getting into our government and becoming commander in chief and what they might do. And you know, we're surviving somehow so far. But I mean, that's it. Military parade is just the latest thing. As you're saying and they're saying, there'll be something else. Mm-hmm. He'll need some other kind of attention for something, because that's it. People need to be telling him, you're the richest or you're the coolest or you're the, you know. I mean, the whole reason he's here is probably because he needed affirmation from people. And through an error in a 200-plus-year-old electoral college system, we got stuck with him. And now we're paying the price.
The one on a very serious note here, once again, as Cliff and I have been talking about this stuff, especially with Porter here, if you are in a situation, by all means, call the National Domestic Violence Hotline. We do highly encourage that. Get some help. 1-800-799-SAFE. 1-800-799-SAFE. 7233 are the final four digits there. If you are in an abusive situation and you're looking for help, by all means.
Please do. There are people that want to help that can help.
Unprecedented. You did say you were had done a podcast here. What's in the latest version?
Well, we talked a lot about Porter and Kelly. Some people will hear some, you know, I hate to use my jokes two or three times. but sometimes you have, no, but we talked a lot about that. We also went into a lot about the mini 6-hour government shutdown overnight. You know, it's like you were asleep. The government shut down. Now it's open again because of the lunatics and, you know, call them the Republican Freedom Caucus. I like to call them the Republican, and John does, Treason Caucus, but who can't agree to anything. They're the reasons why John Boehner's off somewhere probably getting, you know, bleaching it or not bleaching, but burning his skin off and smoking cigarettes at a constant pace because he couldn't get them to agree to anything. Now Ryan can't. I mean, they're just, you know, they're not there, as you pointed out, to govern. They're there to burn the whole place down. Uh-huh. And so we went into the sort of mentality of some of these guys and how they're making everything more difficult.
Rand Paul going out there and saying, I'm so against deficits. You just voted for a tax bill that added trillions to it, you idiot. They're just so lost. They're just so lost. We'll link to Unprecedented, of course, on all the sources. Go subscribe. Everyone listening right now, you get this, only it's better. It is better because it's Cliff Schechter. It's fantastic. Unprecedented, look for the Twitter feed and the Facebook feed. Go subscribe today. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us. Cliff, I appreciate the time shift. Thank you very much.
I need to plan a trip to Minneapolis and try to sneak in your studio and do this live sometime. That's my plan.
Well, we got the Blue State Ball coming up here on March 10th. If you're anywhere nearby, let us know, okay?
Maybe I can do this. Let me look into this. Let me talk to the fam.
All right.
That would be cool.
Cool. Cliff Schechter, okay. Thank you very much, Cliff. We'll talk to you later.
All right. Take care.
Adios.